Nerd Soul.
Okay, before we get started, I got a special guest up in the house, Nerd Soul Light. Say what up.
What up? What's up, Nerd Soul family? You best believe he's a boy Mackie. You best believe that.
Oh, boy. So, all right. So, what movie did we just see?
Across by the Tail.
All right. So what did you like about Spider-Verse? Who'd you like? What character did you
Miles,
like?
Miles, Spider-Punk.
All right. You like Spider-Punk?
And Ben Reilly.
Okay. You like Ben Reilly?
And Peter Parker.
Okay.
Okay, so back to the movie. So the girl superhero looks like mom, and mom is in the movie. And mom's in the movie just chilling, just getting Spider-Man, and then Spider-Man gets led by a spider cat. And then spider kitten.
Yeah, spider cat, spider kitten. You got a spider baby.
Spider baby.
Yep.
He has spider pals. He has spider baby pals.
And you got Spot.
Spot, yeah, which he was going to take everything from you. He was going to take everything from him. Oh, so the spider people try to catch Miles.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're bad?
Well, they're following Miguel. And Miguel is someone who is trying to stop Miles from changing what he believes is the only way that time or destiny should go. And he believes that if Miles does stop something, then it could be bad. It could be really, really bad. So he wants to stop Miles, but Miles believes that there's another way. So that's what their fundamental difference in their argument is.
Yeah, because Miguel O'Hara had the Spider-Man 2099 suit, and then he was splicing his suit. And then his suit got a little ripped up.
Mm-hmm. Miles did get ripped up.
Yeah, but he put his Ben strap on through and then... So Miles says, send me home. And then Miguel O'Hara says, I can't do that. And then he just flips. And then he just runs. So he slices him a little bit. And then he flips with his body straight. Hey, it! And then, that was sweet. And then, Gwen says to him, I'm never going to see you again. And Miles told him, you're never going to see me. So, he just went back home.
All right, Nerd Soul Light. Thank you for jumping in, giving us a little info before we get to the review. Tell everybody, say peace.
Peace.
Okay. Lay ill kid at one youngster holding it down, bringing that street geek in there. So, what is up, my people? Today, you've seen the title, you know the deal, movie reviews. Alright, before I get started, we're going to talk about Spider-Verse a whole lot. This is not going to be the only one, but we're going to get it popping because we got a hit on our hands, y'all. We got a hit on our hands. Alright, now, all of my folks ain't seen it yet, so you know, we can't have the super huge knockdown, drag out, you know what I'm saying, convo we want, but you know, you got me and hopefully I'm enough. Now, I mean, you know, thank you for coming through, Nerd Soul, Hip Hop and Geek, this is what we do, and go on and hit that like button, please. Go on and hit that thumbs up, you know what I'm saying, it helps the channel, subscribe and all that, because we about to talk about your boy Miles. And Miles is grown, man. Miles is grown. So, as you know, in the title, we spoiling it. I'm gonna be talking about it like you've seen it. So if you haven't seen it yet and you don't want to hear nothing, because I'm too hyped to not, you know what I'm saying? I'm too hyped to not talk about this movie all the way. I'm gonna talk about some main folks, and then you know, in a couple days, we're gonna all squad up. So let's get started with Miles. Miles' story gets deeper. Oh man, the plot literally thickens, y'all. And, you know what I mean? We see Miles now. He's grown up a little bit more. He's 15. He's been Spider-Man for a year and a half. And he's sort of handling his Spider-Man duties well. But we can tell that he's not handling his regular average life well. Now, we see that very, you know, apparently in the trailer. And even more so when we get to the film. Like, when he shows up at the school, we see a little bit of it in the trailer, but when he shows up at the school, you can definitely see this guy is not tuned in. He's clearly preoccupied with something else. He is not interested in what the school is doing or what his mom is talking about, his dad is talking about. He's just somewhere else mentally. And we, of course, we know why, because he's Spider-Man. You know what I'm saying? He got world-saving things to do. You know what I'm saying? He ain't got no time to be worrying about school. But on to that, there's a lot of growth that we see, because we do see him focusing a lot on what it is to be a hero, what it is to be Spider-Man, what it is to kind of grow up. But, you know, in the midst of that, we see, you know, the trappings of, you know, every kind of like very demanding, you know, calling or position or job. You know, he's not really there for his family like he wants to be. Like, you know, his dad, you know, they have this great cookout, rooftop cookout. Shout out to New York. Y'all be doing it up on the rooftop. But nice rooftop cookout. Dad is getting promoted to captain and all that. And, you know, he should be there. And we see him making an effort to be there. But when you also have, you know, a villain running around, he's trying to balance that. And I can understand, you know, you say, hey, dad is having a special moment. This is a time that we all need to pour into him. You know what I'm saying? Dad gives so much to us. You know what I'm saying? Dad gives so much to his job. This is a milestone. And it's time for us to pour into him. But I also understand that heroes have shiny ball syndrome, which is like, you know, something new and shiny comes along. And not saying that it's something new and shiny that you want, but something, you know, a new threat happens. And it's like, oh God, it's this new dude. All right, I gotta take care of him. Fine. Let me see if I can hurry up and do it. And it becomes more taxing, I guess, than, you know, even we as viewers thought would be, because we're looking at like, oh, Spot in the you know trailer, he's like a joke. He's like, aha, he's played for a joke. But we see how jokes and how Spider-Man's jokes can actually make situations a lot worse. But you know, Miles, he has a lot to deal with as far as when it comes to the balance. And I mean, maybe you know, the movie is showing there's not going to be a lot of balance, or you're going to have to work extremely hard from both sides to find that balance, meaning the person that's the hero and the person who's, you know, with the hero, whether father or mother or grandma or girlfriend or wife or whatever. Because we do see Peter from the first movie, the Peter that, you know, trained our young fledgling Miles. But we see that he has Mayday, and, you know, Mary J is right there and, you know, supporting him, loving him and all that. So we do see that there is a balance in the way of kind of like the scales, you know, sliding back and forth, because we do see a conversation with them where she's like, did you take her out on a fight? And he's like, you know, so we see those kind of things kind of coming back and forth. So there is a balance to be had. But the problem here, or the problem with Miles, is he hasn't told his parents nothing, man. So it's different because Mary J knows who Peter is. But I think that lays a great groundwork to his, you know, kind of like his background turmoil, and also which feeds the whole kind of second half of the movie, when he finds out more about the Spider-Verse, more about destiny, more about, you know, these canon points, and, you know, what should happen, and what's fated to happen, and is it fate? You know, will it change everything? And, you know, of course, he learns this through hanging out with Miguel and the Spider-Force or whatever. And Miguel is very, very intent on keeping everything just so. So I think Miles has grown a lot. He's seeing, I guess, what is important to him and kind of what the cost of being a hero is. You know, what the cost of you know, certain knowledge and stuff like that is. I mean, even on Gwen's side, you know, we get a newer Gwen, a Gwen that's been, you know, kind of lonely since, you know, her Peter died, who was a friend of hers, and, you know, the way he died. and the way that she's been kind of, I guess, painted as the villain or the aggressor or outright murderer of Peter Parker. And, you know, the cops not knowing the story, chiefly her father. And it's just so much that Miles and Gwen are both kind of carrying on their shoulders. And you have that mutual, you could say shared trauma, you could say shared journey, you could say shared experience. But it, I think it serves in a great way, you know, thematically and narratively to kind of maintain their connection, keep them closer, and keep them, I guess, keep them rooted in their relationship together, which I think is awesome, the way they play it out. Because when we start the movie, I'm almost like, hold up, is this a Gwen movie now? But I see how the way the movie plays out, it seems like the way that they're going to play this into the Spider-Verse, across the Spider-Verse, and now we know beyond the Spider-Verse, I think they're kind of playing this as one big movie. Instead of, you know, a trilogy, this is more like one big movie. And this is just, you know, in the movie, this is just Gwen's chapter or a piece of Gwen's chapter. Because Gwen has a large part of this film kind of focused on her and her motivations and her family life and her thoughts and her emotions. And one thing I will say about her emotions is in her universe, how the backgrounds change, how the lighting change, how the color and the mood changes to kind of accentuate the emotions is awesome. Like the animation here is just incredible and awesome. And the fight scenes are on point too. But back to Gwen, I really enjoyed how she came into the Spider-Corps or whatever. And seeing her fight scene and how she sort of bossed up, stepped into the mantle, and really did what was necessary to save the people at the museum. Like, that showed a level of heroism and leadership that I think Miles also showed on his side with the when they were in Mumbatan, and he saved all the people. Well, not all the people, but he saved some people on the on the bridge and some of the buildings, because when they came out and that building started sliding, he was like, yo, you do this, I'll do this. And he kind of looked like took charge on that and, you know, took point and took the responsibility of making sure things got done. And I love that. Like, I love how we're seeing both of them growing together, and also seeing how strong they are, and seeing how connected they are, even through the rift that we see in the Spider-Force, and, you know, how we find out that Miles is an anomaly, and, you know, how he kind of needs to be ostracized or excised, if you will, if you look from Miguel's point of view. It really helps kind of bring these two full circle to one another as a better evolved version of themselves. And I also like the tender moment that they had together, you know, when she came and met him and started talking to him and got a chance to meet him, because of course she says friend, but we definitely know that she feels stronger than just friendship with him and him to her. But I do also think that there's that fear there about losing another one that she loved. So I like that. The Miles and the Gwen thing, both of those characters are dope. We're, of course, introduced to a couple of other Spider-Men. We got, like, Miguel, he is a handful. But I guess due to what he's seen and what he's gone through, maybe rightfully so. Like, we see kind of the way he tried to assume the role of the Miguel and the universe that he already had, and then seeing how that played out, and now how that might lean or weigh on him, and he's sort of letting that color every impression he has of every Spider-Man around. He's extremely serious, and also it kind of pushes him into a, maybe not a meltdown, but he's definitely at a breaking point seemingly throughout the film. It seems like he's always on the verge of breaking. You know, he's always on the verge of losing it. And maybe in a, maybe, you know, rightfully so, but he's always, you know, snapping. He's short. He's very curt. And it's almost a wonder of how he's able to hold this together with all these different Spider-Men due to his demeanor. Whether he's dealing with Jess, or whether he's dealing with, is it Lila? Who, you'll let me know in the chat. Is it Lila that's his, like, kind of digital companion or whatever? Layla, Lila, something like that. But seeing him deal with this in this way, and how he has to, I guess, keep himself together mentally, because he's still watching the old tapes of him with his, I guess, his sort of daughter, because he kind of assumed and stepped into the role. So kind of like his sort of daughter, and how she fell, I mean, how she, you know, was taken from him. There's a lot, there's just a lot swirling around him emotionally, where, of course, you know, he's not well. He is definitely not close to being well. And I think it makes for a very, maybe not sympathetic villain, but understandable villain. You know, in a position like, hey, look, I tried to save the person that wasn't saved before. I tried to do something that's not canon. I tried to change sort of the web that holds all these universes together, and I broke it. You know, I created a convergence or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And I guess not wanting anyone else to kind of go through that, you know what I'm saying? Not wanting anyone else to have to deal with what he went through. But there's, I mean, there's nothing else you can do. You know what I'm saying? You have to let people sort of live their lives. Now, with that said, you know, you wonder kind of, is it, you know, is it a situation like Terminator 2 where there's no fate but what we make? Or is it a situation where, you know, there is nothing that you can do to stop XYZ? You know what I'm saying? Is this something that no matter what we do to change it, it will still happen? Or is it a situation where we can change it, but if we do change it, it ruins everything? You know what I'm saying? So I like that setup, and it allows us to kind of explore different worlds through it. Like, we get to see Spider-Man and Mumbatan, and he's like, I've been Spider-Man for like 3 months. I think he said 6 months. I've been Spider-Man for 6 months. And he's like, hold on, how's he already in? And seeing how well he has kind of stepped into his role as Spider-Man, he's like, you know, I wake up in the morning, skip the workout, don't need to, my body's on point. Like, it's just funny seeing all of these different Spider-Men and women, their different experience and how they approach spiderness, you know what I'm saying? And then, of course, Spider-Punk, who is a very interesting entry into this story as a whole, where, you know, you see someone who is part of a group who is very anti-group, and you're almost wondering, like, well, why is he doing this? Why is he doing that? Why is it like this? Why is it like that? And then you finally see, oh, he's kind of going his own way. And I love how they handle it. Spider-Punk is awesome. And his, I don't know if I would say his attitude, but his disposition, maybe that'll be a better word. His disposition is just so necessary at this particular point in Miles' journey, especially when he's like, yo, man, you did fine. you needed to use more than just your fingertips. You got to use your whole hand. And then when he gets, you know, kind of put into the energy field, he's like, use your whole hand. I was like, oh, snap. I'm like, yo, Spider-Punk. So I love how Miles, similar to what his Uncle Aaron said, you know, you're the best of us. You know what I'm saying? When he drops that to him. And I think he's taken a lot of the best parts of these people that he comes in contact with and crafting his own journey and kind of setting out on his own path, which is something that I love in this movie, man. This movie is well directed. This movie is well acted. Like, the voice acting is so on point. The animation is killer. Man, I could not ask for a better sequel. I cannot wait to get everyone else on the mic so we can get into like the deeper motivations and machinations of everyone's attitudes and their positions on Spider-Man and I guess Spider-Man as far as 2099, meaning Miguel and Ben Reilly and Jess. There's just so much to discuss and so much to enjoy. This movie is awesome. Like, Mama's awesome. Dad's awesome. Spot as a villain, man, it's a beautiful thing to show Miles early how your, maybe not inability, your your attitude during fights, your confidence, maybe, or maybe overconfidence, and your ability or maybe inability to perceive a threat or see a kind of like see down the road considering a threat or concerning a threat will come back to bite you in the butt, and how that can really affect things and hurt you in the end.